But what I saw in the movement, that what I experienced in the movement at Spelman, and then what I experienced later in the anti-war movement, because when I left Spelman, actually, I left was a kind of euphemism. How shall I put it? Fired. I was fired. We don't like to use that word.
Downsized.
I was definitely downsized. I used to be 6'6". And went north and was offered a job at Boston University just in time for the beginning of a big American escalation of the war in Vietnam, became involved in the anti-war movement, and then saw some of the same phenomena in the anti-war movement, that is the apparent powerlessness of little groups of people protesting against a war fought by the most powerful military machine in the world, the most powerful nation. And how could these little knots of people, 100 people gathering on the Boston Common in 1965, and a little group here and a little group there, and a petition here and a teaching there, how could do anything to stop a war waged by this enormous power? And yet you saw the movement grow. You saw the movement grow and grow and grow. And the 100 people who met on the Boston Common against the war in 1965 become, in 1969, at another meeting on the Boston Common, 100,000 people. And something that then is reproduced around the country as, you know, perhaps 2 million people in October 1969 meet at various places around the country to protest the war. And the population has turned around. And the administrations, as powerful as they are, with all their money and all their military power, must reckon with the most important power of all, the power of people to refuse to do something that they are asked to do, the power of young people to refuse to fight, the power of soldiers who refuse to go out on patrol, the B-52 pilots who, after a while, refuse to fly a bomber over Haiphong or Hanoi, the closing of ROTC chapters because they can't get enough people to join them. A resistance which becomes a resistance of apparently powerless people but becomes wide enough, widespread enough to cause the people up there to put their heads together and to take the activities of these powerless people into consideration and to say, as they did at a certain point, we can't go on like this. We must begin to move in the other direction. And finally, with a major factor being the fact unable to win militarily in Vietnam against, again, an apparently puny and powerless revolutionary movement, national movement. But it's instructive to see this in the civil rights movement, to see this in the anti-war movement, because it coincided with what I had come to believe in studying history, and that is, it is possible at various points in history, no matter how inconceivable it is to change the policies of the people who run the country, it is possible for people to, if they are determined enough and organized enough and indignant enough and energetic enough and are willing to take enough risks, it is possible for them to do extraordinary things. And so I believe that's true today. I'm speaking at a time when there's a lot of discouragement. Most of my friends are depressed. I have begun to think it's a condition of being my friend to be depressed. Why are they depressed? Because they must believe the media. The very people who say, I don't believe the media, believe the media. The very people say, I don't believe the politicians, they all lie. Believe the politicians. The politicians in the media tell us that they're in charge, or that the Republicans have won a victory, or that they're going to turn the clock back, and that they're going to do this, and that they and we believe them. Oh, they will try to do that, and they may succeed in doing it for a little while, and they may win some victories. But the fact is that they are working against a very, very powerful impulse in the American public, which has been developed over quite a period of time. And it's a very generous and good impulse, and it's the idea that democracy should be real. That democracy... That the wealth of this country should be much more equitably distributed than it is. That people who want to work should be able to work, and if private enterprise won't give them work, then a government program must give them work. But people should be guaranteed health care and a place to live and all the things that they need to live a decent life. And this is a very, very rich country. It can do this.